lecture is dedicated to the geosophy. It is, for example, in Srilogas, the introductory book for Naumachia is here. It is called Srilogas. And it is considered to be the first volume of Naumachia. And the second volume, logical, continuation of methodological aspect, is geosophy. Geosophy. From geo, the land, and sophy, the wisdom or knowledge, geosophy. So, what is geosophy? It is application of the principles of noology to the study of the concrete culture and societies. The idea of it is a kind of civilizational analysis with the help of the methods of three laws. So the idea of geosophy is following, that we have not, it is close, this idea of geosophy is close to what is called in philosophy and in anthropology, perspectivism. It is the term perspectivism. And what is, there is interesting anthropologist, Brazilian anthropologist, Viveiros de Castro, that has developed this attitude, perspectivism. Perspectivism, it is idea that we consider that, for example, modern Western men think there is one world, physical world, and there is one culture of understanding of this world. That is modern Western European culture. So that is the kind of truth. There is the world, and more correct understanding of this. One world, one truth. And the Western culture as a kind of one way from this one world to one truth of this world. So that is a kind of purely genocide of other culture, because everybody who is not on this way is out. He is considered to be undeveloped and should be colonized. Finally, and doubt to follow the white man example. It is colonial vision. Against that, there is a so-called multiculturalist position or postmodern position. That affirms there is one world, let it be. But there are multiple interpretations of this one world. That is multiculturalism. It is already not so bad, because that gives the possibility to other to think differently. But some anthropologists remarked that what is going with this one world with different interpretation? Why we are so sure there is one world? What is the ontological basis of this one world that is differently interpreted? And they have remarked that finally this one world is the projection of this modern Western European mind on the nature. And the concept of nature is European, and reinterpretation of nature is modern European scientific world that we are taking as granted, as something that an objective reality that is differently and subjectively interpreted. That is multiculturalism. And they tried, they started, these anthropologists, new anthropologists, creating a kind of, they have called it Cannibalian metaphysics. They tried to destroy the concept of this one world, differently interpreted, and replace by different worlds. So they invite us to believe to what the people of different culture say about world. Not say, oh, that is their interpretation of this world. No, that is correct description of what they see and feel and what they live in. So that is completely new attitude. And knowledge and geosophy is most radical example of this recognition of the multitude of the worlds. So it is, but if we have spoken in the first lecture about three worlds or three universes that are linked to the three logos, but we could put it on the vertical axis because we see this logos in any culture. So we could, in any culture, explain with these three logos. They are vertical. But geosophy, it is application of this vertical to the horizontal aspect. It is not vertical interpretation, but horizontal interpretation. So, geosophy is based on the principle that any culture, creates the world of its own. It does not explain the universal world with around Earth, turning around the axis, but they're living in different worlds with maybe flat Earth or concave Earth, and if they think they are living there, we need to accept that and not consider from the beginning that it is not correct interpretation of the reality. We know better than them. So because it is as well in multiculturalism, there is the old racism, the old colonialism. We know better than you, but we let you to stay with your illusions. So that is multiculturalism. And that is multi-naturalism. So you are living in the world that is real for you, and because we could not project on you our own vision, so your world is correct for you. You're living inside this world and not in your interpretation of what we know better than you. So you understand that that is a kind of a new anthropological approach based on recognition of the dignity of any culture. So if you think so, it is so for you. And in order to understand you and to speak with you and to deal with you, we need to understand not your illusions, but your truth, to put ourselves in your position. That is very important, and geosophy is based on that. So that is idea that we have no one space and one time, one line, timeline and one space. People by different cultures, they interpret their landscape, their history and so on in different way. We know better, but let them have their religion. No. Geosophy is based on that passing from our civilization, our people, our culture to the other. We need first of all ask these people how they understand the world, and not to explain to them what the world in the reality is. So that is geosophy. It is not our understanding of the earth. Geo, our understanding. It is idea that in any culture, in any point, there is different worlds coexisting in the same context. And Deleuze and Guattari in one book tried to apply this. But from their postmodernist, leftist, liberalist, and Western center way, speaking about geophilosophy. in order to make a difference between their approach that is too dogmatic and open approach of knowledge, I have introduced the world geosophy. Geosophy, in order to make a difference. An idea that concept of geosophy is studying the other culture. We need to believe absolutely in what they believe the world is. Absolutely. When we are coming back, we could return to our belief. But dealing with them and studying them, we should not impose on them or project on them our vision about subjective and objective aspect of reality, but to try to understand what for this culture, archaic or developed, North American or Oceanian or in Australian, for example, but what the world is for them, objectively and subjectively. If they have something like that, maybe they have no object and subject. The wisdom for them will be absence of object or subject. And I have discovered some culture with very particular absence of subject. That is, for example, in the Palo Asiatic groups of very archaic people living in the extreme north of Chukotka, Kamchatka, on the Eurasia, in the north of the Russia, and as well in the Northern America tribes. There are cultures with no concept of subject. For us, it is incredible. For Africans as well, because the majority of African culture is based around subject of different kind, completely different from our. The subject as a ghost, as a returning ancestor, but the subject is. And their way, no. In their culture, no. So there are so many different cultures that we could not imagine. And we need to accept them as such, not judge them, not try to hierarchize them. For example, animism, fetishism, not yet animism, already fetishism, as an evolutionist anthropology, but we need to accept them as they think the thing are. And that will create a new vision of Earth. Not civilization the same, trying to get the power, the resources, and fighting against each other, as we do. But, for example, some people are fighting, the other no. Some people are using, for example, for example, strela, arrow. And there are the people and civilization living beside them. And they refuse to use arrow. For example, Australian Aborigines. Because it is immoral to kill someone in one way movement. So you kill, you are not killed. So the boomerang, it is something that can kill you, that you hit and it returns. And that is idea of reciprocity, of killing and being killed. That is against the arrow. So such simple things as arrow could be negated, could be denied on the moral consideration. And that is the difference between Melanesian and Australian population. So there are so many things, because the ethics between black and very similar Papua type of civilization, they have completely different logos and completely different reality. And they are living in different worlds. And we should not judge them who is more developed, with arrow or without arrow. We should understand both. We should understand in the same way North American what are they doing here and why they are bombing Belgrade. It is not so easy because they hate us. It is not an explanation. How they understand the world? Maybe in this case we know better how they understand the world. But there are so many people thinking completely different, living in completely different different worlds, that it, we will be astonished when we will know that. So the richness of Joseph is not only Americans, they get everybody, everybody good, Americans bad, and so on. No such things. There is rich reality of without good and bad, but with not only different reinterpretations of reality. Oh, there are realities inside of the world, and that is the mankind. Mankind is not only one way to one thought. It is many thoughts coexisting in different way, sometimes dramatically opposed, conflictual, sometimes very peaceful. So that is the idea to Josephine's methodology, how describe the civilizations. And in first volume, I made a kind of survey of all existing, of almost all, the main school to study civilizations in the plural. Not one civilization, but civilizations, starting from Danilevsky, Spengler, Toynbee, Huntington, modern American, and many other. So the idea is that we should recognize civilizations as cultures and as worlds. Worlds absolutely defined by the living people and not by us. So, and that is a kind of introduction to other volumes where concrete worlds or civilizations are studied. What is important here as in the sense of methodology? So, first of all, I have remarked that any civilization or people or some entity that share the main aspect of culture, some community, we could call it people, we could call it society or culture, something where the people are living more or less in the same world, because there are borders between the worlds, not the same as between individuals, because they are linked to the language, for example, to the religions, to other things. So there are many borders, but one of the entity we are dealing with, speaking about civilization or geography, it is people or kind of culture or civilizations, more or less the same without differences, where there is community, organic community of language, of value, the same world. Maybe it is very small, as tribe. Sometimes it is great civilization with millions of people inside, but that is not so important, the quantity, the quality of this world, that is important. So there is some collective community sharing the same world vision and living in the same world. That is civilization. And studying these entities and trying to make a kind of list of these entities to find a kind of measure what we could treat as entity or part or supra-entity, that is the question as well of nomenclature here discussed in this book. And I have arrived to more important conclusion that dealing with entity, we always see the moment of noumachia. The concept arrives, moment of noumachia. What is moment of noumachia? That is concrete balance of the fight of the three logos. So three logos are in fight, it's clear. And the concrete moment of this fight, it is the concrete identity of such entity as culture or civilization. For example, Greek culture. That is based on the domination and the victory of the logos of Apollo over logos of Cybele. That all Greek culture is based on that. There was Pelasgian pre-Greek tradition of mother of all gods or great mother, represented in Mycenaean and Minoan culture, and that was the Hellenic invasion with completely different Apollonian values. And what is the identity of Greek culture? What we understand under Greek? We understand of the Greek the moment of Naumachia, where this logos of Apollo as Endelos overcomes the Typhon, kills Typhon, that was the oracle of the great mother. So that moment when the logos of Apollo overcome, outweighs the logos of great mother, and it is a kind of victory in Titanomachia. So Greek civilization is based on the moment of the victory of Titanomachia. Titans, the sons of great mother, attack gods. Gods fight back and they win. The gods win. It's not always the case. In Greek civilization, gods win. Olympian gods. Apollo win over Cybele. And that is the, as well the war of interpretation. It is the war of the thought and of interpretation of any kind of religious, cultural, symbol, or political organization, and so on. So that is patriarchy that has won over matriarchy. And that is to be Greek in concrete moment. So Greek civilization, it is based on the moment of Naumachia. So the other civilization, for example, Iranian civilization, is based on the idea very similar to Greek, because that is the victory of Ormazd, the god of light, over Ahriman, the god of darkness. So two different names, but the same symmetry, the same Titanomachia, and the same victory. So two kinds of different civilization based on the similar moment of Naumachia, and with other culture the same. So in order to find what is the logos in the horizontal way, in the horizon of concrete civilization, Hellenic civilization, we need to define what logos, where we are in the Naumachia. For example, because we are saying the majority of Indo-European society, German, Celt, Roman, Greek, Iranian, and Indian, are based on the same moment of Naumachia. It is the victory of the logos of Apollo over the logos of Cybele. In order to, and we have an idea that every civilization is based on the same moment. Not at all. And a very important example in this situation, that Chinese civilization. Chinese civilization is quite different. It is the purely Dionysian civilization, where there is a balance between the yin and yang, between male and female, between the heaven and earth, and not the domination of the heaven over earth is the value and the norm. Norm is the balance. When is there is too much heaven, so there appear the arrower with arrows that kills the sun's heaven. There begin the flood, and then appears the new hero that try to diminish the quantity of the cold water. So the balance is normal, not the victory of the gods of the Titans. So zero result is the norm of Chinese civilization. So it is completely different logic. So there is no line linear Apollonian logos. There is always Dionysian civilization, where it is not all, not always so, but everything we know about Chinese civilization from the first so-called Jade Emperor up to the now, to Hu Jintao, actual leader of China, that is this moment, Dionysian moment, and any balance, the change of balance, is inside of this Dionysian version. So they are living in Dionysian world, Chinese, with a kind of a little bit more Apollonian in some moments, and more civilian in the other, but inside of this moment. That is not the destiny of the Chinese. We should not say that will last forever. We don't know. Maybe that will be the chance. Maybe that will be not so always. But we constate. It is constatation. It's not rule. It's not law. It's not the truth, final truth. It is moment of Naumachia. So we need, in order to deal with different civilizations, we need to define the moment of Naumachia. It's first. After that, we should presume that the Naumachia could change. The moment of Naumachia could change. It is not frozen moment. Naumachia is going inside. For example, in order to keep Dionysian balance, Chinese culture during many thousands of years applied all the efforts, all the powers to conserve, to guard, to save this balance. Because if they sit back and let the thing be, the Dionysian balance could be overthrown. So it is not easy and taken for granted they will be always Dionysian. If they stop to be Chinese, they could stop to be Dionysian. So if they will be, for example, colonized or destroyed from inside, they could stop to pay all the existential, millions of people paid the existential efforts in China in order to keep the things going in that way, not in the other way, not too much yang, not too much yin. It's very important. It is fight. It is almost fight for the logos of Dionysus. This yellow Dionysus, I am calling this book, about Chinese civilization. So in the European as well, if we stop to fight for Apollo, they will appeal civilly very immediately, because she is always there. And she will attack immediately when we stop to impose this Apollonian will or matter immediately. So that is very important. So Naumachia is not something, the moment of Naumachia shouldn't be considered as a kind of eternal and taken for granted identity of the culture of civilization. It could change. So that is the meaning of the history, because the history is the fight of the logos. And every people has its own version of this fight. And every people, every culture is in the different moments of this Naumachia, defined by its own proportions. There are people with domination of Sibelian or, for example, Afro-Asiatic people, Semitic, Egyptian, and barbarian people. Or Kushite people. There is the huge influence, the power of Sibylle. And they could overcome it from time to time, but that is a kind of natural inclination. But it is not the fate. They could change that, and they could create something completely different. But the process of this, the identity is the process. Identity of the people is changing things, is dynamic. So the moment of Naumachia could be the same or could change. Proportion of the logos, of three logos, in the same people, in the same society, could be different from the other society and could change during the history of the same people without ethnical or social change. So we receive at the end a very dynamic, multi-level structure of Joseph. So there is differences, we could say horizontal differences between one society and the other society living in the other geographical space. But and they have the same or the different moments of Noamachia. They have different identity, including if share some moments, they could be expressed differently. So there are, and in the relations between them, all that is very important, because the relation of Greeks with moments of Noamachia, where Apollonian aspect has victory over Sibylian, with Iranians, with the same moment of Noamachia, where the Apollonian has victory over Sibylian, were conflictual. That was that were two form of Apollonian logos, because that was the balances, the proportions, the combinations were different. So if there is the same moment, or more or less the same moment of Noamachia, that doesn't mean that there will be complete agreement and correspondence. So the situation is different. At the same time, in any culture, in any geosophical entity we take to in consideration, could be historical change. And the change of this element of Noamachia, domination of logos of Apollo over logos of Cybele, or the logos of Cybele over logos of Dionysus, of Dionysus domination of both, or and so on, could change. So the history and the direction of this change is not universal. It is a kind of the product of inner dynamic of the people. So we have many civilizations going with many worlds, with many different moments of Noamachia going in different ways. So there is no way, for example, we don't go, everybody of us, to the Cybele or to Apollo. Everybody is going in some way. So that is Joseph. Joseph is recognition of multiplicity of the culture in any sense, in the space and in time. So everybody is different, going in different directions, with different speed, and with open end. You consider now, compare that with the major existing concept of the history. So there is only one goal, for example, in Christian way as well, or in the Muslim, there is only one truth. There is maybe one or two possibilities or way to reach this truth, one wrong, the other right, and that's all. And there is universal norm. So and there is one space, one time, one object, maybe more than one subject, one better than the other, liberal better, not liberal worse, and that's all. So, and compare that narrow, purely racist, purely ethnocentrist understanding of the history, of the human history, with what proposes Geosophy. Geosophy proposes to discover so many worlds without quitting the earth. So the new worlds, the other worlds, are living here, beside ourselves, near to us. But we don't remark them because we are projecting our own narrow vision about that. For example, Russian author of Eurasianist, Trubetskoy, Count of Trubetskoy, has said once, if we consider, for example, the structure of a book written about law in the West. For example, how it is, universal law, and there is Roman law. It is thousand pages dedicated to Roman law and its development, and 2 pages about Chinese law. And that is universal law, with no mentioning of other kind of law. That is more or less comparable situation with we have. For example, Roman law is law, but universal, to be universal, is not enough to put very profoundly studied Roman law, compare very superficially observation of Chinese law from the Roman law point of view, and that is universal law. It is not universal law at all. It's Roman law with 2 pages of Chinese law, interpreted from Roman law point of view. And there's nothing universal in that. So geosophy, it is an invitation to the real universality, to the real acceptance of the richness or and of any people and any society, any civilization, in the serious way. It is serious multipolarity, serious tolerance, not this kind of racism disguised that is modern liberal globalization that projects the result of only one civilization, Western civilization, as universal one of everybody else, pretending that is universal because it's not so white. As before, but based on the mixture, it is not enough to mix, because everything we see in the mixture of the culture is the Western culture with something taint skin. Obama is absolutely white. It's white supremacist. It's white. It's Hitler. He has nothing of African. He has nothing black. He's purely WASP. Because there is nothing that would be outside from his American Anglo-Saxon mentality. It is semi-black puppet of white men. And all globalization is the same. It is transmission of the same very narrow result of the modern and postmodern Western culture over humanity. It is not dialect, it is not multiplicity, it is not pluralism, it is not tolerance, it's pure colonizatory racism based on the most savage prejudices. And that is what we are dealing with. So geosophy obtains in this situation revolutionary mission to destroy this attitude, to discover, rediscover the world, to decolonize any civilization, in order to give the right to the other to be other, without permission, without asking permission from globalists, from Soros, from Americans, and to affirm identities how they are, this identity, bad or good, accepted or rejected, radical, extremist, archaic, based on human rights or not based on human rights, it's no matter. So human rights is purely a racist concept, because in human and rights, it's Roman rights in the modern interpretation and the Western understanding of what is human, so individual. So it is liberal totalitarian idea of human rights. Because they don't ask no one what you think, for example, you Chinese, what is human? No asking, only question. You should be more strictly in the granting human rights for your Chinese dissidents. That all. That is completely colonizational attitude. Nobody asks Chinese what is human for them. Nobody cares, because the globalists know better what is human. because they are human, and they put their norms what is human. But what is that, all that has to in the real pluralism or real democracy or real human? There is pure racism. So geosophy is against that, not ethically, but methodological, because it is perspectivism that is based on carefully study of civilization without prejudices. So, for example, you are Serbian, we are Russians, we are Orthodox, we are pastor, the Christian, and the European civilization. We are going to cannibalize society. We are projecting our idea that is bad society because they eat each other. It could not be. It is satanic, demonic, devilish, or underdeveloped. We could not. We don't ask them. We try to change them immediately with our understanding, and that is the same practice we are dealing with neighbors, with far or near people living around us, and that is the source of misunderstanding and source of almost all. Errors maybe it's natural, but it's erroneous. Error is errare humanum est. Error is human. Error is human, but this is nevertheless the error. So we need to change that. And idea is to study the society, accepting what the members of this society think the reality and values and the nature, the subject, the object, the history is. But here we encounter the serious methodological problem: how we could study different society with the same languages, for example, with the same criteria. And so we need at least small things of common criterions, a kind of that we could try to apply to different society in order to see whether there is some correspondence or not in open way. So through Lovas, as I have explained, I have tried to apply to any civilization, any culture that I have studied. Everywhere I encountered the clear traces of all of them. So that is something seriously universal, but open, in open combination. So there is no one law. So there is, but they are present. They are present and they are fighting. So maybe that is one of something universal that there are three laws. And there is the fight, and there is open end of that. And in the geosophy, I will try. I have tried to find the other criterion that could be useful in studying the civilization, in order to have something in common between them. And first of all, I following Heidegger and phenomenology, I have chosen the concept of existential horizon or existential space. Existential space, what is it? Existential space. It is Da of Dasein. Dasein, Da, it is space. Where? In German, da, of the beach. Where? Da, in between. So that is space, but that is not the space of the science, not the space as a concept. It is the space where the being is. Where this existential space is the space where the thinking, living human being is. And this space doesn't exist without this living, thinking being. So it is special. It is not geographical. It's not mineral. It's not the. It is not the man. It is existential. If there is the man, thinking man, on collectivity with languages, with culture, with roots, with some symbolic system, there is this existential existential space, existential horizon, and where we have the same structure of existential horizon, we have the same existential space, we have the same Dasein, and we have the same people or the same culture. Where is the border? There begins the other. So that is very important in order how to separate, how to create a nomenclatura of the peoples, of cultures, of civilizations. If we apply the other criterion, more sophisticated, more developed, we will be dealing with secondary results of what is already constructed over this existential space. So this existential space is very important. And that is linked to the concept of the multiplicity of designs. I have spoken with the direct student of Heidegger and his continuator, Professor Hermann, Germany, in Freiburg. We have spoken about the multiplicity of designs. He has said Heidegger thought the Dasein was universal. So there is only one Dasein. Because he was racist. He thought that the German Dasein, German European, Greco-Roman Dasein was the only one Dasein. And he carefully put aside the other Dasein as something not Dasein. For him, the Dasein was the only one, as philosophy was only one, as logos was only one, that was Western European logos. It's normal if you recognize that as absolutely legitimate ethnocentrism. But, and Hermann has said, but Dasein is defined by, was defined by Heidegger as the relations to the death. And the death is the same for every living human being. I have responded, not at all, absolutely not at all, in nothing the same. So every culture, every design has its own relation to death. And precisely in this relation to death, that is, I agree, is the most important characteristic of design, difference relation, the difference of the relations to the death represent a particularity and originality of the death. And I have studied that in my book on Heidegger. I have written four books on Heidegger. The second one is called Martin Heidegger, The Possibility of Russian Philosophy, where I have applied Heidegger criteriums, existentials, he called that existentials with S, to the Russian design. And I have discovered that the majority of them don't work in a Russian situation. We have different relations to very, very core of existential realities, with death, with God, with each other, with the place of human. So designs are multiple. That is very important. And existential horizon defines the natural border of Dasein. That corresponds some partly with geographical borders. That is normal because the people live in some concrete space. And we could regard this existential horizon as space where the people live. Lebensraum, geopolitical. But at the same time, it could not exist without human being, without people, without language, without tradition. If you put the population in some space, mixed population, you don't get this existential space. It is not Dasein. And that is very, very, very difficult example in our history. Kaliningrad, peopled by Russian, it was Prussia, peopled by Baltic tribes, invited by Germans, assimilated, and after that taken by us. And we have put the Germans aside. So that is space Russian, not so German, no Baltic, no. There is the place, the people were living, the culture, the science of some history, but there is no design. So the kind of a part of territory of the space is evacuated from existential aspects. It's very special conditions. I have studied Serbian history, and that is a kind of this idea of migration of Serbs that created this similar idea. Where is the borders of Serbia? Where is Serbians the bearers of Serbia, or could the Serbs exist without Serbian motherland or not? It is all it is open question. So that is a kind of exilic tradition. So it has to do. It deals with the problem of existential design. So existential design, it is not the territory, and that is not only the people. It is the relation that the Zion being to the place, existential relations of the being to the place that passes through the people, through the culture, through the human, through the thought. It's very, very particular concept, but it's very important to geosophy, because geosophy studies precisely existential horizons. It is the relations of the being to the space that goes through the culture, through the language, through the tradition, through the identity. So that is very important category of geosophy. We can say we are studying the people, but not as the people, as ethnology studies the people, because ethnology studies that from some demographical aspects or some statistical or some formal material. This is a study of design. For example, if we are studying Serbs, we should put first the question, what means to be Serb? It's not easy. What's mean? So any formal answer are not enough. Or Russians. And we here begins our poetry, our philosophy, our imagination, our political aspirations. Everything is here. What means to be Serb? What means to be Russian? And it is not abstract. We could not say this things to be Serb, this to be Russian. No. We are giving the answer through all our history, through our victories. For example, we could say this is our empire, but empire is grows and diminishes, and what to be Russian, what borders, our defeats and our errors can be our answer to what means to be Serbian Russian. So it is existential horizon linked to the space, but not to the a link to the people, but not to the immaterial way. So nobody can answer this question, what to be Serb. Neither Englishman nor Russian can give the satisfactory answer. Maybe Serbs as well cannot not respond. But that is the process. That is open question of identity, understood existentially. So practical result from geosophy. We need to begin to study what is Serbian design. Put the question in these terms, not to try to find Slavs identical term, we will be lost in this way. We could accept that technically. Heidegger thought that Dasein is unique. We agree that we have multiple Daseins. And starting with this, we could concretely put the questions, what means to be so? And that is not futile questions. It's not only slogan. It is something that you and your ancestors have paid with the blood, with the body, with Kosovo, with King Lazar, with all your history of existence is a kind of solving this problem, what meant to the serve. And the future is here. And the future of Kosovo and Metohija is here. And the future of the Serbian identity is here. And it is the answer doesn't belong to the past or only to present. It is eternal question. You are Serb because you are inside of this existential horizon, because you are solving this problem. Maybe not solved, but you are part of this. So it is, and the culture, and the language, and the traditions, and the values, and as well maybe the body, are the parts of this. So creation of ancestors, and the future, and the children's, and the families, all are inscribed in this existential horizon. But I think that why we need so bad this concept of existential horizon? Because without that, we could not correctly put the right questions we need to solve now. Because seeing as population, or for example, the GPD, for how many income we have, or where is better to live, and where is more possibility for social mobility. If we consider Serbs, for example, Russian, in that way, we receive completely different answer that could not explain absolutely nothing in our history. So existential horizon is key concept for geosophy, and without that, we could not come into really study of deep identity or the entities we are trying to study. So it is a basical methodological principle of noology and geosophy, existential horizon. And the second term that is well very important, if existential horizon deals with so-called space, but space in the sense of that, of the between, somewhere where the human thinking presence is. It is existential space. So we should deal as well with existential time. That is second category of geosophy. That is as well Heideggerian in its origin. Heidegger and his Sein und Zeit and Time and Being has made distinction between two terms, German terms, Geschichtliche and Historische. It is translated the same. Geschichte is history, and Historisch, it's historic. Sometimes Heidegger uses as well the term Seinsgeschichte. Seinsgeschichtliche, that is ontohistory, the history of being. And that is already a kind of important clarification of the term. So, geschichtlich or seingeschichtlich in German, it is time that is linked to the being. To the being, if, for example, da is space linked to the being. Geschichtlich, it is time linked to the being. So it is the time of being, or existential time, we could name it. Interesting that the continuator of Heidegger, French philosopher, great French philosopher Henri Corbin, that is best specialist in the Islamic esoteric tradition, trying to translate difference between historisch and geschichtlich in French, he has introduced the two words in French, historique, historische, and historial, geschichtlich. So, because in English there is no such difference. In Russia it's Serbian as well. It's everything conceptual. We're dealing with concept. So we could try to use historical and historic. The historical substantive, the historical and the historic. It's purely pragmatic. So, but meaning is different. Let's call historical what it is, the kind of history of being, historical. So it is the history of the sense. It is not the consequence of the facts, but consequence of the meanings. So the historical, it is a kind of intellectual existential reading of historic. Historical, it is an ontological aspect of historic. Historic is the fact that is documented, a fact. But historical is the explanation of fact. But when we are living through the historical, it is not, we are not explaining afterwards. Living in the history, we are committing the deeds that could be historic or could be historical. If they are historical, they have to do something with design, with our identity, with our deep roots. We are existing historically. And historic are all elements seen from outside, are documented. So historic, it is something that is has to do with the facts, and historical, or it is something that has to do with the meaning and with the being. So in French, Corbin uses this historial, historical, as substantive. L'historial, the historical. So I have let it in Russia in French terms, so I'm using in Russia the term historial. Historial, it's very strange word that, but that has concrete meaning and Joseph in Almachia. So we have existential horizon, existential space, and we have existential time. Existential time, it is our interpretation of our history. And that is our interpretation of our history. For example, the facts in this interpretation of the history, they speak to us, to our soul, to our blood, to our spirit, everything. And to other, that could be the event with no significance. So formal events, they measure, the other measure this event with they measure. And we are measuring these events not materially, not quantitatively, but we are living through them. For example, the struggle in Kosovo field, it's Serbian event. It is part, the key part of Serbian historical, not historic. Historic, we could say that was the one battle between the other, and King Lazar was not so great, and there was the inner and so on. But in your mythological understanding of what means to be Serb is the key moment. It's the moment that is basis of your being after Kosovo and before Kosovo. Because the Kosovo was the end of something and the beginning of something and eternal Kosovo fight. And this eternity of this event has something to do with the existential aspect of Serbian Dasein. For us, is the same, for example, of Kalka, that's fight, or Poltava, or Second World War. So we could not, there is not only one meaning of that. The meaning of this event belongs to the people, belongs to Dasein, to the Serbian Dasein, to the Russian Dasein, to American Dasein, to French Dasein, to Chinese Dasein. And the meaning and the reality of what was and will be depends directly on these existential relations to the time. So there is a kind of Husserl said that the time is as a melody. Time is like a melody. If you hear one note, and after that the other note, and other note, there is logic. So when you know tonality, you know charts, and when the note is not incorrect, you are shocked by that. You try to improve, to play the right note, if there is the not correct note. And the next note is predefined, by previous note, because there is the history is not the fact. There is melody, it's logical, and we could miss the note, we could delay, but we, for example, there should be chords, and there is no chord. There is, and we are living, waiting for the chords that we are already anticipating. So that is the history. That should happen something, and that happens or not happens. Happens. If it that doesn't happen, that is as well as kind of maybe a kind of introduction of silence in the melody of new Stockhausen version of melody. So, but that is the music. The history is music, and only the people or Dasein can understand this historical music. It is not universal. You could not say that here. Something and everybody decipher from the noise on the special frequency. So the historical of the any people has its own frequency. Russian here we are hearing our Russian melody. I mean, understand it very well, and you hear your Serbian melody, but they are played on the different frequencies. So from outside, it's difficult to say you are a good stage or bad stage, you are developing or you are in the decadence. So there are no universal criterion in this, the historical, because relations to the time is existential property of Dasein. And after that, that is a kind of all that existential horizon and existential time, the historical, they are defined by noumachia, because in any moment you could not express your melody in the history or your identity as a people placed in the space without three laws. You use them or they use you. So there is that is a kind of balance and dynamic of the logos. So if your logos, for example, is centered around Apollo, and there is, for example, coming Sibelian moment, this moment is for you, if you stay loyal to your previous logos, you consider to be essential, it is a kind of experience, the test, you pass through that, you don't assimilate, and that separate Bosniak from Serbs, where the Turks came, the parts this of the Serbian people. Serbian people have decided that you should integrate in the new condition. It is forever. And the other made, as King Lazar, the different decision. You should stay and with Orthodoxy, with the previous identity, and defend it through the night of the Turkish rule. Two decisions, and for example, to give in or to stay with the Logos, that is decision of the people. And two people, Bosnian and Serbian, appear after that. So the distinction, it is on the way on Logos. It is very concrete things. I'm speaking about how we go, for example, the same melody, but after one moment we could split, and the people could split, Ukrainian, Russian, and Belarusian, and Anglo-Saxon. So there are many, many, many interesting points of this bifurcation of this melody. So creation of new design, of new people, and all that is linked to the Nomahia as a fight between three lovers. So we could explain the historical of every people and the existential horizon as of every people as a kind of element they are expressed with the help of the three logos, or we could use the other image. We could represent three logos as three grain put in the existential field, and they grows, they grow these grains, and some of them prevail, some is on the is in the shadow, some wins, the other fails. So there is a kind, this existential ground could exist, it could grow different fruits. But grains are always there, always in this existential horizon, and by dynamic of their growth and their combinations and their conflicts is always different and is proper only to one people with only one historical. So this is the national history, or national is it's artificial word, but better people's history, народная история, people's history as a special things that could not be explained or understood from outside, because it is and Nomahia is not something artificial. Nomahia, it is the process we are living through. It is kind of our identity, and that is the second very important aspect of geography. And the last thing that I would like to explain here, that we are dealing with very interesting contradiction, because if we have many worlds and many cultures and many identities, and many identities that are developing in different directions, in different way, with different results. So how we could really understand that? Because we, for example, are Russians. We are absolutely defined by our Russian design, and I could be nobody but Russian. I represent Russian design. I have only one vision, Russian vision, because I belong to my existential horizon. I am living in the moment of my Russian melody, how we as existential being understand that. And I could judge, for example, what is going on outside of Russia only with my eyes. Exactly the same with Serbs. You could not imagine yourself to be Albanian. chance against possibility, including the plague of the big plague. We tried to use in Ossetia, and this in one the sociological school, we have said let's imagine you are the enemy, you are the other. Let's imagine you are Georgian. Nobody. They could not accept that, because including in the gameplay, the role play, no, there was no Georgian. Everybody will play Ossets. So it is ethnocentric aspect that is embedded in the searcher mind. So, for example, if it is logical to presume that all now Maya is Russian vision of everything, it reflects Russian ethnocentrism that is very comfortable for Serbs, but maybe will be not so more so much comfortable for Croats or Polish or Americans or Chechens. So how we could solve in that situation the problem that we are defined by design, by our own design, and how we could deal with other design, being the part of this design. So that is very interesting, very, very difficult methodological questions, but without answering that, we could not come to geosophy. That will be only pure hallucination about the multiplicity. So the idea is the measure. So if we insist on pure universality, and if we try to overcome any ethnocentrism, we come to nothing. We have no position. There is no such existential space, and there is no such melody that could be the earth for all the humanity or universal history. That will be the same as the Trubetskoy's example. That will be 1,000 pages about Western civilization history and 2 pages about something else. So that will be our objective understanding of multiplicity of design. That will be our or Russian or Serbian. That will be absolutely ethnocentric. So if we pretend to create a system without ethnocentrism, universal, that will be our ethnocentrism in some perverted titanic gigantic version. So the problem, how I solve it, it recognizes the right for ethnocentrism. So we can, because we could not exist without ethnocentrism, and trying to deny that, we become more ethnocentrist. That is because globalism and liberalism is more racist than National Socialism, much more racist, because it thinks one fate, one destiny for everybody. Absolutely, for everybody. And Germans were racist and very bad, but they tried to impose their Germanity over more or less limited quantity of the peoples. The peoples were against, they fight against, we have fought against, and we have won. But that was more or less limit. But globalists tried to do the same on the global scale, to impose their identity, to turn into the globalist everybody without distinction. So trying to avoid racism under pretext to be fascists, they became the real fascists, the serious fascists, the hyper-fascists, because they try to impose in the very racist way their understanding of what is human, what is good, what is progress, what is time, what is technology, and so on. So we could not pretend that we are universalists, but we could not stay ethnocentric, because that will be not Naumache, but history of Russian design. It may be interesting, or Serbian design. And the idea is how to solve that, is to recognize the natural limits of this existential space, and positive appreciation of the design of the other. Positive, that doesn't mean that we should exchange our design against the designs of others, but positive appreciation that recognizes to the other the right to be completely different, without no hierarchy. Difference that could provoke sometimes conflicts, but if there is not the conflicts, is not the destiny of the difference. So we shouldn't eliminate the differences, but in the so-called universalist direction. But we shouldn't overgrow. We shouldn't put our own recognized ethnocentric identity as something that should be imposed over other. So, and that is very interesting. What I am speaking about? I'm speaking about borders. Borders that should not be fixed once for all, that could change because the people could develop, they could change their identity. They are dynamic entities. They are inside of the historical process of the balance of their noamachia. They are fighting with each other. They are changing religions. They are open in any way, in positive and negative way, in any way, in conflicts and in war and peace of Tolstoy's. There are always possibilities, war and peace, change. And this change situation, the identity could change. We are not obliged to stay absolutely with one and the same moment of Naumachia. It depends on so many factors that it is always open questions. And if we consider a kind of concert of these ethnocentric groups, if we recognize the right to be ethnocentric in some borders, not overcoming them, not in the universalist, nor in the purely chauvinist, xenophobic way, if we are staying clung to our own identity, defending it in sometimes, imposing it when is the possibility, but at the same time, if we recognize the inner right on difference to the other, so we don't eliminate ethnocentrism, we don't overcome ethnocentrism, and we don't glorify excessively ethnocentrism. And that is Apollonian methods, because the essence of Titanism, as Friedrich Junger, the brother of Ernst Junger, has described it in his famous book about Greek gods, the essence of Titanism, of this Sibylline logos, is not knowing the measure. So if you are ethnocentric, you are imperialist, colonialist, you impose your ethnocentrism over everybody. If you universalist, it's the same. So it is Titanism. If we stay in the borders, in the borders, so we could not overreach that, not to fall in one or the other, not pretend to be the center of the world, but we are center of the world, everybody of us. If we are not center of the world, we are not in Dasein. If we not have the center of our identity, of our sacred territory, of our tradition, of our symbol, of without churches and sacred places, we are not people. We should be center of the world, but we should recognize the right to the other to be center of the world as well. In their eyes, in their world, in their borders. And the borders should not be just. They are always unjust because they are living. We are living being. These existential horizons are living. So we could not say, let's be there to the great Russia and nobody will pass. There comes the time when someone overpass the border. And the border should not be titanic. They should be open as well. We should fight for our borders. we should live with our morals, because our morals are this, our bodies, our skin. We are living in that. They should let something in, something out, as the skin. So they should be different. So, but they should exist. They should be recognized in the clear and the logical and metaphysical way. So the borders between one horizon and the other, without pretending to create the common measure, to put them together, to overcome our ethnocentrism. If it is, we could call it self-reflecting ethnocentrism. So we understand that we are in the center, we are the center of the world, and we are happy with that. But we understand, we should recognize the right to think the same and to be the same in the other borders of the other. That is very important. That is the only solution to create a balanced geography and the world based on multipolarity. Because otherwise, we will come to completely kind of humanism without the essence, without the nature, without the content, pure form, and that will be in the end of the day, there will be pure racism, the other side of the pure racism as pure humanism. Because if you don't agree with the values of this liberal humanism, you are not human. Finally, you should be destroyed, as is the case with Muslims or with Slavs in Anglo-Saxon version. So, or we try to impose our own ethnocentrism without understanding the measure. So maybe we could call it measured ethnocentrism, measured, self-reflecting ethnocentrism, that recognize the dignity of this existential entity of these people, but recognizing the same, the right to have the same for those who we like or we don't like as well. With those who we like, it's no problem, but with those who we don't like at all is the problem. But for example, following this path in concrete in writing Naumachia, I have written and published already the book on North America, North American logos. You can imagine how my relation to North American culture. I simply hate it, but dealing with North American logos, I have discovered that was a challenge for myself. Because if I would write Russian version of criticism of American imperialism and so on, that will be caricature. That will be not American logos. It's pity, but that will be not Naumachia. And going into depth of American logos, I have discovered completely different things. I started to understand them. I don't approve them, but I now understand them. I understand what they are doing. Because everything fits in their context. And they are a kind of consequential, their attitude, in their titanism, in their creation of artificial post-traditional civilization. So they are doing what they should do. So they are creating some kind of American society on the global scale, because it was based on this universalism from the very beginning. So I don't approve that, but that is quite logical. If we consider that there is American world, and there is American world, there is the logos of American world. And I have identified that in the pragmatist philosophy. And it's a very special philosophy. It's very different from European philosophy, pragmatist philosophy. It's not good, not bad, but it's purely American. It's based on in existence of object and subject. Very interesting. So I have passed the test, I think. because dealing with American logos, I didn't write a caricatural, critical volume, how they awful they are, and how we should fight against them, but it was written with some kind of, some sympathy for them. For me, it was a real challenge. So after that, I could write a volume of Naumachi on any people. So after overcoming this challenge. So, for example, after this test, I have discovered the logic of Croats, of Polish, and with great astonishment, I have found that the Slavophile tendency and tradition was started not by Russians, but by Croats. By Croats were the first Slavophiles. That's and Czechs, and there was a Slavophile tendency in Polish tradition, not for Russian, but Croatian, who was pro-Russian. It's very, very strange. So there are so many things that we could discover overcoming our ethnocentrism. At the same time, destroying completely universalism or imposed by globalists. So that is new way. It is not rehabilitation of nationalism. It is not the return to the nation states. It is not pure revanchism. No, it is new way of thinking. That is new for Russian, for myself. And I think that that if we learn to use that methodologically, we could solve many details in political, cultural, scientific, in any sense, and very concrete. Concrete challenges. So that's for today. It's all we have explained. We have covered today two most important methodological aspects of knowledge as a philosophical discipline. Where we have spoken about three logos and geosophy with most important terms and concepts introduced in two first lectures, and I invite you to think about that, to try to use that in a concrete aspect, and follow next 8 lectures, because in the next 8 lectures we will apply what we have spoken about today to the concrete cases, to different examples, to show how it works, because it works. It is concrete tools. If they are tools, they should help us to do something with that. And that is all for today. And please questions.
Geozofija, da li ona proučava moment, onaj Novomahiju, onaj moment, ili kad se javio taj moment, ili kad će se javiti, kad je došla borba, da li to ono, dizajn, sadašnji dizajn ili budući dizajn koji će se desiti, da li proučava?
There is very important. Dizajn. It is not that exists only now or in the past or the future. Dasein is unification of the past, future and present. So now it is not the consequence. So we are going through our existential time, for example, not only predefining future, but reflecting the past as well. So everything that existed, that was in the past, everything Heidegger says that had a being in the past, had being in Dasein, has being in the future. Everything that will be, is and was. So something that wasn't, could not be, because being not depends on time.
It's karma.
not exactly. It is existential understanding of the Zen. So what will be is what will come without being. So it will be completely fictitious. Everything that will happen in the series already happens. Already happens and happens now. So that is because we are living in the linear time. So it's difficult to us to imagine that. But linear, materialistic understanding of time, it's the result of the moment of the victory of the Cybele over Apollo in the beginning of the modernity in the Western
world. Okay. Da li geozofija proučava one momente koji su se desili ili oni ili predviđa momente koji će se
sve? Konečno. Both. Not when we understand where we are in today, we could predict and could make what we will be tomorrow. So the problem is that if we history is not the past, history is future as well. If we living in the history today, understanding what is the melody, we are making tomorrow. We are making the future.
Da li no magija je jedna? Jednom je moment, onaj boom.
Yes, exactly.
Jedan je boom.
Yes.
I sad ne može da bude boom non stop. Znači, jedan je boom. Da li će biti sada, da li će sutra, ne znamo, da li će biti nakon dve godine. I sad...
That's difficult to see because we are treating time in Noamachia. Noamachia is moment, but the moment is dynamic, it's not static moment. So tomorrow in the future as well, it is already exists in this moment. So the future is not that something happens tomorrow. Future is something we are doing, we are creating now.
Da, ali mi možemo kreirati ona tri logosa, uticati na logose da bi stvorili Noamachiju. Znači, možemo spoljašnji deo kad bi proučavali uticati na tri logose da bi došlo do Noamachije.
No, it's we could not deal with logoses. Logos, the three logos are dealing with us. They are not tools, logos. We are their tools. So there is a kind of spiritual everything we are speaking about. They are processed inside of the nous. Because we are living inside of the intellect of the nous, and we could not invite them to be. We could observe this plenitude, this spiritual and intellectual sphere, and participate in it actively, not passively. We will participate in any case. We will be used by logos in any case, but philosophical understanding of Noamachia is to participate in the history, in the being, in Dasein, the history of our people actively. So understanding with what we are doing and where we are going, understanding. So it is, we could not use or oblige logos to come. They are going their way. But we could exist in this Noamachia with full consciousness of what is going on. So and if we will act with consciousness, that could change everything, because consciousness or intellectual understanding of what is going on is the main goal of human being. So we are being human because we are going, we are sought, we are thinking, and we are sought, as Socrates has said, the man is the soul. So we could say that the man, in no logical way, the man is the thought. The thought and the soul. Everything else is unimportant.
Процес мишљења не постоји у линарном времену.
So design is just like a collective unconscious and collective conscious.
Maybe, but something that has to do with that. But it is too formal. So design is something that it is existential, it being common being of the people.
Yeah.
Yes, with all the content, with the symbols, with collective soul or something like that. But all comparison has some limits. It's better to say it's like or it's similar. Similar, yes.
Yeah.
But design is not collective unconsciousness.
Yeah, yeah.
It's similar to collective unconsciousness. Very similar in many ways. But not identical.
Yeah, yeah.
Could you say that there is a tendency in every society or civilization to make a distinction between us and them, because we know since the start of the civilization, and that was very present, specifically in the Greek civilization, when everybody that was out of the Greek world was barbarian, and also in the Roman Empire, everyone outside the borders of the Roman Empire was considered a barbarian, and that continued on through the centuries as the West defined itself outside of the others. So is that basically eminent to the societies to make that distinction, us and them, basically to have firm identity for themselves, and then to distinguish themselves from the others, to basically make that what Carl Smith said, what is the greatest achievement in politics, to know what your enemy is. And is that eminent basically for every society?
Absolutely, it's eminent. And when I'm speaking about ethnocentrism, I'm speaking precisely about that. That without ethnocentrism, us and them, ours, friends and enemies, is the same, us and them. Without that, we could not imagine identity. And if we try to overcome that, we will declare the enemy who doesn't agree with us to overcoming this difference. So when, for example, when Karl Popper and his idea of liberalism, that is idea to try to overcome this ethnocentrism, us and them. But how, what is the name of the main work of Karl Popper?
Open society.
And
its
enemies. Open society and its enemies. So when you try to overcome enemies, you declare enemies everybody who don't agree with you. So what do you are doing with enemies? With open society or observe, or you kill them, or Americans. So it is without, everything is ethnocentrism. We could not imagine nothing beyond ethnocentrism. We should not destroy that, we should not overgrow that. We should put it in the context. In the context, ethnocentrism, us and them, is absolutely necessary to define himself and the other. It is the natural border of existential horizon. Without this border, we could not have nothing. Language, way of thinking, we destroy everything. But there is a measure in that. We should know measure. If we overstretch too much, or if we hate too much our enemies, we should respect enemies. We should fight them, we should kill them, we should suffer them, we should hate them, but we should respect them, nevertheless. So that is a kind of dealing with enemies, with other. That is the main challenge of actuality, and you are absolutely right. Us and that, but us and them, it is not only Roman, Greek, every collectivity, small and big, it is Sumner in the sociologist has shown clearly that human identify itself as the part of a group that is directed against the group. It could be people, civilization, Greek, Roman, Oikumene, everything. Political party, without this distinction, there is no human, no society, nothing. So when it, that is precisely the response for your very, very, very clear question is this self-reflective, self-reflecting ethnocentrism. So we understand that we consider them as other, but they consider us to be their other. If we understand that, we shouldn't stop fighting, or we shouldn't begin to be in the peaceful, friendly relations. Maybe so, maybe not. But we should understand. That is not all the people. It is impossible. That destroy. That will destroy the people. People should stay with as it is, to strongly with its own identity. But intellectuals, the philosophers, should explore this, being the same and understanding the other. And that is enough, because the philosopher or leaders or rulers or that is absolutely necessary in order to grant to our people the freedom, because if we will be demeasured, if we come out of the measure, we will be destroyed. So it is normally to stay in some borders, to respect them, to take in consideration as other, not as the nothing. Enemy is not nothing. This positive evaluation of other, what we need then. Other, yes. Not the same, yes. Not better, not worse, other. But we should accept that as other. Not in the friendly way necessary. Maybe friendly, finally, that balance. That balance should be open. That should be decided in the any circle of the history. And that is precisely to exist historically. Exist historically is this distribution of friend-enemy statuses. It's open evaluation of that. But it could be really art of existential being, historical being, art to distribute that, to have the measure, to change the relation and overcome what is the lowest aspect? Lowest aspect, for example, accepting or rejecting some the other, is as well normal. Is well known, but it is normal for the unreflecting, less human behavior of the people. It's just, we have the body that is not thought, so we have the some lowest part of society as well, and they should be like that. But the thought, the center of our being, should go over that, but in the very measured way, not absolutely, not losing our relations with our identity, but trying to understand the other. So that is very important. So, and the best Hellenistic thinkers, they used from Egypt, from Iran, from Orient, and for example, Platonicists, they tried to create a kind of a really, maybe it was too Hellenistic as well, too Greek, but tried to make kind of synthetic vision, synthetic theology, with open relations to different cultures, not imposing them too much their Greek values.